Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Is Luke 21:25-36, the New Revised Standard Version. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man is coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Thank you so much, Leanne. I appreciate it. We are indeed here to celebrate the good news. I want to thank the choir and this church family for inviting me back here again to meet with you and to speak about something so important that we need to remember to hold very closely in our hearts, which is hope. We are now in the 11th month of what seems like an endless couple of years. I'm so glad that we're able to be together in person and to be able to embrace each other as it is safe to do so, and also that we've held it together this far. We are in the first week of Advent, as you saw and we taught with the children. We are kicking off a season where we anticipate and prepare for the arrival of Jesus. And that's what Advent means, coming, the arrival of God with us, Emmanuel. And each week in our tradition, as you saw today, we light candles that represent the gifts that Jesus brought with him when he came to this earth. This first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. It's also known as the prophecy candle, and it's the candle that reminds us of promises kept, promises to come, and a way to watch and prepare for God to be near us. Before we jump into the arrival, we are called to look at the warning signs before us and to take an honest look at the world we are in right now. I challenged myself this time to stick with the lectionary for today's message, which is not something that I generally do, but I felt today was a really important Sunday. It's the kickoff of some holy days for us, and it's a time to really reflect on what it meant for God to be with us. So I began to dive into the scriptures that were sent over to me. And I must confess, in reading today's scripture in Luke that Leanne just shared, I struggled to hear the message of hope. As we take an honest look at the world we live in, I can appreciate the message of preparation and watchfulness. And it feels super apocalyptic and full of dread. All of the things that we're supposed to be looking towards. And we ourselves have just experienced what many in the prepping and survival community have been predicting for years. I don't know if you know this, but the last couple of years I have been running a survival and prepping community and store. And one thing that I can say about this community of people is that they believe and have absolute faith that the stuff that they've been warning us about absolutely 100% will happen. It's not a matter of if it will happen, it's when it will happen. And they don't care if they're called crazy. They don't care if people make fun of them. They just know that it's going to happen. Very faithful group of people. And what I can appreciate is that when they were right, instead of saying, hey, you guys, we told you so, they actually opened their arms to more people to join the community. So again, relatable and timely message. But here we are beginning what we have called the season of hope, and I found a little bit of trouble wondering, where is the hope? It took me a couple of weeks, and after listening to somebody else read this scripture, I finally heard it. Floating in a sea of words that I have heard debated for years, Jesus brings this message of hope. He says, when you see that these things are about to happen, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Some versions read that the redemption is at hand. That means soon. They are about to experience their entire world come crashing down. Symbols that have become so important to these people are going to be utterly destroyed. Their temple that they celebrate and has become this glorious symbol is about to be completely destroyed. Jesus says, no stone will be left unturned. And then he says to them, your rescue is near. It's close. He tells them, be ready, and you are not going to be alone or without help. That's a big and. Be ready, and you will have help. I don't take that for granted. This is the type of hope that we honor and celebrate and call in today. It's not simple wishes or hope that can be calculated with probability. Like, I hope I get this job, or I hope that the light turns green soon so I can make it on time. It's not that kind of hope. This is the kind of hope that God brings us. It's the kind of hope that arrived in a little 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn baby Jesus in his fleece diapers in the manger. It's the confidence and anticipation that a good outcome can happen even in the most dire of situations. It's the hope that floats us when we are drowning in the overwhelm, despair, in times when we feel irredeemable. It's the life raft that comes to us and allows us to see the light through the darkness. It comes at times when the best we might do is tread water. I like to light our candles at home at night when it's dark. I like to turn all the lights down, and I like to experience the symbol of a small light shining through in the darkness. And what's really special when you take the practice of lighting the Advent candles at home in this manner is that you get to see each week how every extra bit of light really begins to illuminate. And it becomes exciting, and you can start feeling that warmth and that fire inside of us. And I believe that is the purpose of the practice. This is a strong hope. It's a hope that floats us toward the light and toward a place where we can perceive that that good outcome can happen. It's not enough to hear a message and know that hope exists. You actually have to be able to see that it can happen in order for this hope to work. And this is a hope that is based on promises. It implies a need for trust and surrender. In a moment, Leanne is going to read us a passage from Jeremiah. Now, this is a book, just as a side note, that I find myself looking to when I'm needing reassurance, when I need to be reminded to trust that this moment is somehow bigger than I can understand right now. What's interesting to note is that Jeremiah's prophecies came during some of the most tumultuous times for God's people. He himself says, "If I looked to you, God, I'd win. But I still have questions." I love that so much about Jeremiah. "If I looked to you, I'd win, and I have questions still." He brings us a complex faith journey and delivers us a hope anyways, a message of hope in the worst of times. He has questions, and he still delivers the message. Let's listen to what he says.
This is from Jeremiah 33:14 through 16. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness."
In this passage, Jeremiah starts out by saying, "The days are surely coming." And then the children of Israel, God's people, waiting for the days where Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will be in safety, they waited for a really, really long time. I appreciate Pastor Lori asking the kids, "Do you like to wait?" I don't like to wait. I feel a lot of times my purpose in this life is to understand and complete a course on patience. We went to the movies with the girls this Friday. And as we walked up, my mother realizes this is Black Friday. We're going to walk into the mall right now, and we're probably not going to get any seats, but we're going to have patience, she says. And we saw this beautiful movie called Encanto. It's a story about, you know, a brown, Hispanic, Latino family that has many magical gifts. And these gifts carry their family and the town that surrounds them through many hardships. They begin to rely and place their focus, their faith, and their hope on the gifts instead of the people that they love. Until one of them has no gift. She comes up empty-handed when everybody's waiting. And this shatters the foundation that they had come to trust for generations. They start to feel hopeless, and that hopelessness leads to desperation. In the movie, the main character, as many of these children's movies do, begin to sing songs. They just break out in song about everything. Which, coming from a show choir background with Ron over here, I can appreciate and love. And the song that she sings says, "I'm sick of waiting on a miracle." And I'm telling you, it's been a long time since I really, really related to a movie character. But man, she was like, "I'm sick of this. I'm sick of waiting." And I thought, wow, how many of us can relate to that statement? And I think about the wait and the silence that happened before Jesus arrived. How many of us want to know when our rescue or a redemption will arrive? When will this time be over? How many of us feel like they're in an everlasting waiting room? It's like being in a forever DMV with toddlers. It's not a fun time. Yet we hold on to that ticket that says that our number is coming, and then there's no rhyme or reason in the order that they're going to call your number. You're like, I'm A-1,000,053, and then they call like H-27, and you're just going, what in the world is going on here? What gives, God? So for God's people in the Bible, it took a really long time, yet the promise was fulfilled. And that's what we celebrate, the arrival of the promise, the arrival of the hope. I studied hope a lot in this last week. I wanted to make sure that I could bring a meaningful message, and I wanted to know, where does this hope arrive? I did a search on one of my online resources here, my little handheld computer. And it was really interesting to see that when you search for the word hope in the Bible, to see how many times it shows up, we see a lot of it in Psalms and places where people are praising, but a very unexpected place showed up. It was the book of Job. If you're not familiar with the book of Job, this is a man who is tested in every possible way imaginable. It's one of those stories that makes you question God. What gives? Why is this happening? Yet in the middle of the systematic and specifically targeted destruction of his life, we find this word hope over and over and over again. And I feel like God comes down with the God hope, the intervention type of hope, in times where we are at our most desperate. These are the places where hope can make the biggest difference. Hope is wonderful when you're happy and everything is going right. It's easy to feel hopeful. You ever been next to a really happy person? They're just so happy, and you just want to grab and bottle that. That's easy and that's super fun until you're not happy. And then they're kind of just really annoying. But that's the place where hope floats us when we're drowning in the overwhelm. I remember years ago being a single mom, making just enough to get us by. I sank in desperation, and the harder it got, the further away I drifted from the light until I couldn't see anything but darkness. And in the middle of the darkness, a dear friend says to me, Mavi, this is a slice of time. This trauma is temporary, and something amazing is on its way. Those words have never left my heart. It was a teeny tiny bit of hope that allowed me to accept that there was a chance for that good outcome to happen, even if I didn't know where it would show up. At that time, I could not see God or know that my hope would come from God. And I remember asking, where is it coming from? And the response was, it's coming from wherever it's at. okay. This friend had no idea how prophetic the statement would be or how far it would carry me. Shortly after that moment of absolute desperation, a life raft came through in my life, and I learned exactly how hard I would fight to get to it. I still count that time and this friend as one of my angels, and I count it as one of those God intervention moments. Because he reminded me to look past the moment of desperation and toward the rescue, which was indeed at hand. So many times, this little tiny bit of hope has floated me forward. I didn't get the solution that I wanted to immediately, or the justice that I felt I deserved and needed, but I got a glimpse forward, and I had the confidence that something good would happen. That's the God hope I'm talking about. And just a little bit was enough. Where does that God hope meet us? I want to tell you that it's going to fly in on unicorns and rainbows, and the glitter's going to come down from the sky, despite how much we might want to pray for that. My experience tells me that God hope shows up where we doubt, where we fight, and where we struggle. That's where the life raft meets us. And if you're in that struggle right now, and you're in that overwhelm, or you just feel like you can't fight anymore, I want to tell you that your struggles are not in vain. You know, it's hard to hear when you're in it, because you just want to get out of it. But Paul tells the Romans in this great opus that he writes. Romans is one of those Paul letters that I can appreciate. And Romans 5, he says that your troubles and your struggles produce endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This time when you're struggling is when you develop those spiritual muscles. And that's where God's promise will meet you. God's promise met his people in this little otherwise insignificant town called Bethlehem. It was met with shepherds and a manger and a world waiting for a miracle. It shows up and it shows us how strong we will be, how much we can endure, and how hard we will fight. And when we think we can't take it anymore, it floats us to a place where we are strong enough to know that we can survive and make it through this slice of time. Some of you know my family. And just a short time ago, we went through unimaginable trauma and sadness and despair. It was met with us face to face. We know the end of hope more than a family should ever know. And what I know now, getting to look backwards at my family, is that I know that absolutely nothing can break us apart. I know now that we will absolutely forever endure and come through on the other side with love. Not every family gets to know that, but I do. And that gives me hope outside of this and on the other side of this desperate situation. Hope floats us to peace, joy, and love. It floats us home. I encourage you now, as representatives of Jesus, and I believe that when we call ourselves Christians, that we are choosing to call ourselves representatives of Jesus and of these gifts that we light candles for, to reach to your neighbor now. Take their hand, look in their eyes, and say to them, stand up, raise your head, your rescue is near. This is a slice of time. You are about to know exactly how strong you are. You're about to know. And if you are in that struggle right now, I encourage you to reach for that hope. Fight for it. Kick those legs when you're sinking. Swim for that life raft like your life depends on it. And as you're able, be that life raft. Be the rescue. Represent the hope. Because even just a little tiny bit makes such an enormous difference. A tank of gas to someone who's been riding that empty, just trying to get their kids to school. A few bucks to hold you over till payday. A warm meal. Or sharing the talents of your vocation. A lot of us have some special skills, yet we hoard it. We don't help each other. We know so-and-so needs some advice here. Somebody's house is falling apart. Somebody needs help with something that they can't afford the repairs on their car. And you know how to do that. That extending that hand to your neighbor and offering that help is that life raft. And that little bit of humanity that you can share, and not just now, but all the time, just might be the thing that floats that person through the hard times, knowing that someone cares enough to help. That's the world that I pray for, where we all reflect the hope and light to the world. Where we become the fulfillment of these promises that we celebrate during Christmas, but all the time. This is my challenge and my invitation to you. Look up. Know that your rescue is near, and be that source of hope. I'll leave you with a prayer that Paul says to the Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in faith so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in faith. So that you overflow with hope. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we gather together as people of faith to worship you. Some of us have come after having shared warm and meaningful time with friends and family over this last week. Some of us come after struggling through a holiday that highlighted our feelings of disconnection, isolation, or grief. Some of us come with joyful, anticipatory spirits as we turn into this Advent season. Others of us come with feelings so tender and bruised that we are already guarding ourselves against the holiday cheer. and yet we've come, maybe in person, maybe online, but we've come seeking you. We've come to find solace, to find meaning, to find hope, to find each other, to find you. Bless our gathering and hear our words, prayers, and songs of praise, those that we utter out loud and those that we can only whisper in our hearts. Each expression is meant to honor the love and mercy and mystery that is you, O God. We pray for the concerns of our lives, our community, and our world. We lift up those who are doing the hard work of recovery in body, mind, or spirit. Give each one fortitude, humor, courage, and good companions in their labor. We pray for those who are in hospice care and ask that you would bring them comfort in body and peace, your peace that surpasses all understanding in heart and soul. We pray for those who are unsheltered and struggling to survive cold nights and uncertain days. We pray for our world as we continue to deal with COVID-19 and each new variant, asking that you guide our individual and communal efforts to love one another by protecting each other, especially those who are most vulnerable. Open our hearts, O God, to the light of possibility that comes to us this Advent season. Help us to encounter this holy time without expectations, that we might seek your coming with fresh eyes and ears and spirits. Give us patience and keen perception in this season of waiting. Help us to wait with hope. Help us to wait with love. Help us to wait in ways that connect our lives to one another and to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.